Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Marks and Reese, we're back. Limited interruption, very limited, for the next hour and 20 minutes. You and us at 215-592-9494. It is Marks and Reese at 215-592-9494. I was looking for it. I was looking to see what Nick Sirianni sounded like after the first game and the first win, what the locker room looked like. Jeffrey Lurie got involved in it. So let's start with Jeffrey Lurie. Here's Jeffrey Lurie after the game.
All right, to Coach Sirianni, but to every coach and player and everybody in this locker room, I mean, you've been talking fundamentals since April, May, June, July, August. Today was an example of it. Round one, that's all it is. But you guys just couldn't be more proud of you. To Nick and the whole coaching staff and everyone in this room, this is the first of many. I think you guys can feel it. This is the first of many. Take care of your bodies. On to the 49ers.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
That's fine. Jack, what is your issue with it? Because you're the one giving the...
Just the beginning. That's it. I mean, come on.
All right.
All right.
You got a little excited.
He was very happy. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I didn't expect like some around, like great speed. I mean, it's fine. It's not. Listen, it was just funny.
It's customary for the owner. Jeffrey Lurie has done this with every head coach. Their first win, he gives them the game ball. I was there when he gave Andy Reid the game ball after we beat Dallas. That's what an owner is going to do. He just hired a coach, and so when you get your first victory, he's going to come down and he gives you the game ball. And
he gave Nick Sirianni the game ball.
And I'm pretty sure he gave Chip the game ball when he won his first game.
Did he take it back?
He probably did. He probably wanted to, yes. And I'm sure he gave Doug the game ball. Ironically, took 5 games to give Andy the game ball. I don't know. Did Ray win his first game? I don't know how many games Ray coached before he won his first game. Doug won his first game.
Probably not many.
Doug won his first game. Chip won his first game. And Nick won his first game.
Wow. The Eagles were pretty good in 95. Second game. Yep.
So the best coach, we waited the longest to give him the first
time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we started off 0-5, so it was actually 6 games before he got his.
Would love to know what the radio was like the first 4 weeks of that year.
Well, and he had already left a bad impression on the fan base.
At least Sirianni's already kind of won the fan base over.
Andy. Yeah, he actually literally had to start winning before.
There was a lot going on there.
Yes.
The Donovan draft pick, which people weren't down with. Yeah. The introductory press conference. Yeah. The fact he was never a coordinator.
Let's put it this way. How Angelo feels about Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, that's not how he felt about Andy and Donovan.
Probably not,
Not in the first year. Are you kidding me?
He did not.
Yeah.
Well, I think we know that.
No.
All right. So Nick Sirianni. Here's Nick after the game.
Guys, shoot, that was sweet now. We played for each other for 60 minutes. Guys, that's the dog mentality. That's the dog mentality right there, okay? That cage, when the cage opens up, I don't care what the score is in the first half, when that cage opens up again, our teeth are snarling, we're drooling, we're ready, and we're hungry and ready to hunt again.
Yeah.
And again, and again, and again, and again. That's a great team win, guys. It's a great team win, but guess what? We're going to enjoy this for a little bit. And then it's round two. And then it's round two. All right? This time, it's in Philly. It's in Philly, round two.
Man, is he breeding rabid dogs or something at home?
Is this a 16-round fight, 18-round fight? They realize boxing switched at some point from 15 rounds.
Yeah, it's no longer 15. It's 12 if you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of rounds here. They realize we had 17 of these things to do.
Yeah. How many people out there have snarling dogs that when you open the cage door, they come drooling out ready to bite people?
That damn dog snarling. Don't open the cage door.
you're calling somebody to get rid of it.
I hadn't heard that. That's pretty good.
When that cage opens up, I don't care what the score is in the first half. When that cage opens up again, our teeth are snarling. We're drooling. We're ready and we're hungry and ready to hunt again. Yeah. And again, and again, and again.
This is dog hunting. Again.
That's a great team win.
Yeah, something about football players and coaches that we like dogs, man. I don't know what that is, man. I'm spooning with Sparty.
Can we get
that dog in you, right? He don't got enough dog in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use that a lot.
I like that term.
Remember the Coastal coach? We need more dogs. We need more cats.
Yes.
Can we get Nick Sirianni snarling in a cage and coming out of a cage?
And I didn't even see the video, but something tells me he got down in some type of ready stance.
He was actually looking at notes. He had a note card with something on it.
Not great.
The dog snarling and drooling and growling and barking.
That's different.
Yeah, that was from
That was with Angelo. Yeah.
Oh, so he
because he asked him about the dog mentality, and it's apparently Nick loves to talk about the dog mentality.
So he brought it back out for Angelo on the phone.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and now he's talking about it again post game. I know that.
Which one was first?
Angelo was first.
No.
So Angelo was.
That's right after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nick was in the locker room after the game.
Nick was in the locker room after the game. The video just came out yesterday.
No, I thought it was with Angelo. I didn't realize it was the day after.
Yeah, it was the day after. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He really loves snarling dogs.
Yeah, I mean, can we?
I mean, I've been around, golden retrievers and yellow labs my whole life.
A snarling dog isn't I know what he's saying.
Yeah,
we're not going for the snarling dogs anymore, man. Yeah, we want.
I think we needed to get a different.
We want to spoon with our dogs, a nice cuddle and.
Yeah, Ike's rubbing bellies.
Yeah, a dog starts snarling. Yeah, he's getting up out of there.
When I think of dog mentality, dogs forget everything and they're usually kind of dumb. You know, I don't need that.
Yeah,
my football
players. We gotta. Like a tiger or a lion or something. Yeah, like a lion. No one's going to want to mess with a lion. No one wants to think of a dog coming up and biting you or hunting.
Bring Ray Rhodes back for his pregame speeches.
My favorite.
He has robbers and burglars coming in.
Yeah, my favorite's always Mike Zimmer before the Eagles game here.
What is that?
Well, I had a whole bunch of bloody teddy bears in the Eagles locker room.
That's right, that weirdo.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He did.
Of bloody teddy bears.
Yeah. Like a food dye.
Holy
I was insane. And then it was Bradford was his quarterback, I think.
No,
that's
not
certainly the wrong thing you want to put up with Bradford.
Yeah, do you think Bradford gets motivated by anything?
Get scared by that.
A couple of bloody plush toys littered the locker room Friday as a reminder of the danger in the Vikings feeling too fat and happy. Before dismissing his 5-0 team for the bye week, Coach Mike Zimmer scattered stuffed animals of the feline variety throughout Winter Park. Their throats were slashed.
What?
With some of the white stuffing within seeping out, and they were splattered with red paint. Hanging on the larger cat in the locker room was a sign that read, "Fat cats get slaughtered."
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Fat cats get slaughtered. Yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah,
I'm out. I'm out.
Imagine walking in the locker room and seeing stuffed animals with their throats.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least Ray was in your face with being like someone's breaking in your house and
Ray gave you the images. He didn't actually put them up in the locker room. he put them in your head though.
He didn't bring family members in and
tie them up and actually display it to you. Yeah. Thank God for that.
You don't give him any ideas. You might have done it. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Tom in Vancouver. Ike, if you remember, the last time we talked to Tom, I think I was critical of his call. Jack, how did it go down? Was he trying to get into the fantasy league, or what exactly
was? No, like, you know, Mark. Tom was a rambling call, I would say.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, you were just making sure we're trying to grow him as a prospect. We believe in him.
And Tom is taking pointers. Mm-hmm. And let's see what he has right now. Tom in Vancouver. What's up, Tom?
I can't. It was due. I was due for a hang up. So John, no hard feelings. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Good. Thank you.
Cool. All right, guys. Chris Sims. At least he's more open than Florio and Lombardi. I was listening to him talk about the Eagles, and he kept complimenting the O-line. And sure, the O-line was great, but he didn't even talk about Hurts. So, you know, I found that a little bit annoying. I find a lot of these guys a little bit annoying. And I looked up on PFF, and if you remember last year, Hurts was rated really poorly by them at the end of the season. He was 37th of 38 QBs. They rated him after this week number two, tied with Winston behind Brady. And they rated Wentz 27 out of 32. Mm. And that's pretty impressive. That's so like you said, John, before you've said it when PFF works in our favor, we use it.
Yes.
Yeah, we use it. So I think I've also been reading like Shiel Kapadia's work, and he was talking about how if you look at the throws that Hurts was given to make, that the scheme was really good. And so I think it's a tribute to the coaching. And I think in the defense, when we look at the defense, I thought the coaching was good too. And as a last point, because I want to make this succinct, as a last point, I did look at the All-22, and I was a little bit concerned on the defense side with the red zone plays, because I noticed that Matt Ryan seemed to let two touchdowns get away from him.
Yeah, he certainly missed Gage on the one play where he threw it there, but I don't know if he was throwing it away or he just missed him with the throw. Yeah, I mean, listen.
Thanks, Tom.
And Tom, there were opportunities there, and that's what coaches will look at on Tuesday and Wednesday. See, they take that win 32-6, and we all feel like it was a perfect win and rah, rah, rah. Well, you know what the coaches get paid to do? Go in there and find the flaws that we didn't see and find areas where they can be exposed, that maybe Atlanta didn't take advantage of, that San Francisco's going to watch film and say, oh, Atlanta had them right there. This is what they could have done. That's what film study is. That's what film study is. So when these coaches break down the film on you, they're saying, okay, this is what they like to do. Well, let's see what they aren't very good at doing or where this guy may have struggled at in this area. Okay, well, Atlanta could have took advantage of their defense when they showed this coverage here. But either the line.
That's a touchdown for us.
Yeah, the line broke down, or Matt Ryan just didn't see it, and now they want to implement it into their game plan. And that's how game planning happens from week to week.
So a successful win by one of your teams, and the defense doesn't give up a lot of points, Jim Johnson's finding
things, watching the game. Yes.
You're coming in, and he's saying, look at this.
Yeah.
Should have been six.
Yeah. I don't ever remember Jim Johnson. He'll tell you congratulations, you guys did a good job. And believe me, we had, you know, he had some good defenses here where he certainly didn't have a problem with patting guys on the back. But that's not what he was there to do, right? Like, so in other words, you're going to have to really impress him to actually get him to be in here patting.
You'd have to be perfect almost.
Yeah, damn right. Because he's going to find something that he wants to coach and harp on that we can get better at. Just is. That's just
with
how,
most players, maybe yes. not Doc.
Well, I just meant from a scheme standpoint, because there's always areas in a defense that can be exploited.
Yeah,
there's always areas in a defense that can be exploited.
Mm. But overall, Jonathan Gannon's first game, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't think he had to do. Atlanta wasn't that complicated.
No,
like he didn't have to blitz. He didn't do any of that stuff. So it was actually good that he didn't put a lot of stuff on film. Like, he probably still has some stuff that he had planned to use that he didn't have to use.
Well, they were getting the Ryan in the second half from there's just a regular
with
rush.
Just the front four.
And how many times did they blitz?
I don't recall them blitzing at all, but they may have.
Mm.
They may have. The thing that would, and we'll get more into San Francisco as the week goes on. But I'm wondering, you know, Garoppolo played well after I think he fumbled the first snap or something last week. But then he got himself together and threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah, they lost the fumble. No, yeah. Don't look at that final score. They were up big in the fourth quarter.
Well, I'm just saying, how much more will Trey Lance get to play? Because that's
it's another unknown.
You bring him in, now you got the threat of the run and the throw.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eagles certainly have to prepare for Trey Lance playing at some point, whether it's in the red zone, whether it's on third down, much like we used to do with Jalen last year. Not Jalen. Yeah, Jalen last year. We got so many damn Jalen's on this team. Yeah. Sometimes I have to remember I'm talking about the right one.
Except Doug would just run them, and then like Kyle Shanahan will have real
plays. Right, it took a while for him to let Jalen throw the ball.
To do anything, yeah. He would just come in and
run.
And you know, off tackle. Let me try to get as many yards as I can.
But it gave him a spark.
It did.
It's going to be a little different than going against Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard last year.
Yeah, we did play the 49ers last year.
Yeah, we sure did. That was Fulgham's,
That was the Fulgham game, yeah.
Second straight big game, or was that his first
one? No, that was
the
first one. That was the one.
And then the Steelers game was next?
Sunday night?
Yeah, Sunday night football.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, back to the phones with OG Wade from Chester. What's up, Wade?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Hey, buddy.
OG Wade.
Hey, man, I'm looking at everything, and I hear a lot of chatter about the Eagles playing a lesser opponent. Well, coming into the game, we was the lesser opponent. You know what I'm saying? So everybody was saying we weren't that good, and Atlanta was going to win the game. And then Hugh said they lied to me. He said they lied to me. They told him that they was going to be getting the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands quick. But what he didn't anticipate was that the Eagles was going to hit him anyway. You know what I'm saying? And I told my son, when this thing gets in the second half, Matt Ryan is going to start feeling them hits that they was putting on him in the first half. So when they say Fletcher Cox didn't have nothing on the stat sheet, that's for the stat. But when you out there playing, if you see the pressure that Fletcher Cox was putting on, him pushing two men back and being able to open up for Hargrave and Ridgeway, that stuff counts. I mean, I don't care about stat sheet. I really don't. I don't care about none of that crap. All I care about is who's being – what are we doing effectively? You know what I'm saying? And that's basically not having to blitz a team is major.
Oh, yeah.
And now once these players start to feel that John Gannon's defense is basically – they can trust it, they'll start working off of instincts then. Right now they're thinking. When this team's defense gets to the point – where they're reacting, it's going to be a much better defense. I love the fact that we don't have no weaknesses on the offensive side. You know what I'm saying? Only thing I want Hurst to do for real, is when they blitzing or pressuring him from my line of side, if he flips his hips and get out to that other side, the world is open for him. He kept going that one way, which really, you know, kind of congested things. But I like what I'm seeing, and I tell you this here. I think we're better than Dallas because everybody say that Dak was magnificent. Well, Dak lost the game. You know what I'm saying? So if he was magnificent and then lost, you know you ain't going to be magnificent every year. Every game, right? So there's going to be games that Dak's not going to play that's not going to be well. So if they ain't winning with his best performances, they'll make you think they're going to win.
But they were. Hold on, Wade. They were playing the defending Super Bowl champs
in
their building.
Listen to what I'm saying about that. Okay. I don't fear Tampa Bay at all. I think that Tampa Bay got that Super Bowl because of what Andy Reid was going through in his personal life. He threw for 200 yards in that game. The hell you seen somebody win a Super Bowl throwing for 200 yards? He threw three interceptions in the Green Bay game. He should have lost. I don't want to do that. But what I'm saying to you is that I like Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa Bay is what everybody is.
Right, unbeatable. Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not
saying they're not a good team.
I'm just
saying that, you know, I don't give moral victories. You know what I'm saying? If Dallas was good enough to beat Tampa Bay, they should have beat them. Don't give me what they could have done, and they played them tough. Because, you know, teams do get up for teams on that Super Bowl level.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can get them up for that.
Oh,
for
sure.
You know, but it also can work the other way. You can get your feelings hurt and then start, like Michael Parsons. I know he's second guessing himself, like from that game, wondering what he was looking at, because they had him spinning like a top.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see what happens.
No, it's all good,
all
brother.
Right, Wade.
Yes, sir. I love it.
Appreciate it.
See, I can't come back. Got nothing to say. Wade's good.
Yeah, he's not worried about Tampa Bay.
He's not worried about anybody.
Nope.
Kansas City, Tampa Bay.
Oh, for you.
Did I hear him say we had no weaknesses on offense?
None. Last week you didn't. Other than you had 7 points with 1:54 left to go in the first half.
Yes.
So, I mean, even but Wade has been very consistent with what he thinks about this team this year.
Yeah, well, I need to see how Wade reacts when they lose. It's easy to stick your chest out when the team wins.
Yes.
And let me see how you react when they lose. You know they're not going 17-0, right, Wade? So,
well,
they're going to lose games.
Jack, you never know.
Well, you can't go 17-0 without going 1-0.
Man, that's true. That's true.
Damn right.
That's true.
Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers celebrating 40 years in business. That's 40 years of making memories. Online, marks-jewelers.com.
I'll tell you one matchup I am interested in come Sunday. That'll be Nick Bosa going up against Jordan Mailata.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
a real defensive end. Atlanta didn't have a defensive end.
I don't know if it was you that pointed it out or somebody else that was talking about it. It might have been you
probably
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mailata may not have it. He's not going to have as easy of a time. He's going up one of the better defensive linemen in the league.
Now, Fred Warner, linebacker.
Yep. D'Amico Ryan's coming in here.
It'd be a little different.
Yeah.
A little different than the defense we saw Sunday.
For sure. All right, don't go anywhere. Back to the phones.
I think they just signed Dre Kirkpatrick.
Did they? Well,
they did
as a corner. They brought him in as a corner. They lost Jason Verrett.
Yep, so, for the year. Yeah. And then their other corner, I believe Kyle Shanahan said, their other starting quarter, he said that he's hopeful that he can play this week.
Right.
Which didn't sound a very strong opinion.
Penei Sewell did a good job against Bosa last week.
He did?
Yeah, according to all the
And they were
experts.
Worried about Sewell, who had a bad preseason. So, well, I mean, yeah, hopefully it can be two weeks in a row that they hold him back. All right, don't go anywhere. We're going to step away for only 1 minute, but on the other side, your Eagles calls. And also, Chris Long had some interesting comments on some of the 76ers ripping the fans. What did he say? You'll hear that next. All right, Marks and Reese, we're back. We're in the middle of limited interruptions. You and us at 215-592-9494. And we will get back to your phone calls. But Chris Long on with John Clark and his podcast that he has for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And so just take a listen. But I guess John was asking him about, you know, Danny Green came out. No, you know, it's the fans got to be better. Joel Embiid, oh, you fans got to be better. Chris Long talking about if the fans have to be better.
When you get to a place like Philly, I just felt like they adopted me, man. And like, I was like, oh, this is the NFL. And the sick joke about it is like, I'm in year 10. So I never got to really experience something like that in my entire life. And I was like, well, I'm gonna make the best of it. But to answer your question, I don't think the fans need to be. I think fans in general can be better. I'm talking about any city. But in the case of Ben Simmons, like not being able to get it done, you know, a lot is expected of you. And you weren't able to get the job done. And that's what happened. So I don't agree with Joel as far as like Philly's concerned, because you don't know how lucky you are to be in a place like Philly. Like I would have, if I could have kept playing a long time there, I would have played till the wheels fell off, but there was just nothing left for me to do there.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz wanted to go in a different direction. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have been back for another year. I mean, and that's
from God not to cut you off.
Yeah.
Played in St. Louis, played in Los Angeles, and he played in New England. Outside of winning in New England, you don't have a lot of fun playing in New England. Just ask Tom and Gronk. They couldn't wait to get out of there, right? It's just the Patriot way. It's there's restrictions on you, right? So coming here to play, he got a chance to be himself, be free, know what it's like to be in a fan base. Just when he won a Super Bowl in New England before he came here. But I think and LeGarrette Blount said the same thing. He talked about winning
most
here was more special because they enjoyed it more. And Chris Long enjoyed it so much that he has maintained a relationship with this fan base. Like he's maintained that.
He feels more like an Eagle than And like you said, he was a Ram for a hell of a lot longer.
Yeah,
but
he's only
like,
here 2 years. He played 12. Yep.
But that, like he had said at the beginning of the cut, they they really adopted him as an Eagle. We look at him as an Eagle. And I think it was earlier he talked about being in St. Louis and being a Ram, and he was talking about the day, not taking shots at their fan base, but just saying it's different being
here
than it is being there. We all know that.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if it's just you have to be out of the – you have to be out of it, right? Meaning sometimes you have to be removed from it in order to have that appreciation for it. When you're in it, you feel like we as fans should appreciate everything you all do as athletes and just cheer you on and be there to be supportive. But that's a naive way of thinking. That's your sense of entitlement way of thinking. And sometimes it's not until you're older or you're not attached to the game anymore and you can see it from an outsider's perspective, do you really get that viewpoint? Because it wasn't until I was on this side of doing things that I fully understood, right? It wasn't until I was on this side of things. And I used to try to explain that to, you know, my former teammates that were still playing when I was doing this. It's like, dude, it's fans and media are going to do what they do. You as players, just do your job. And if you choose to pay less attention to that, that's probably better for you. But if you're going to react to everything the media says or fans say, then your emotions are going to be all over the place. They're going to be all over the place, just like fans' emotions are. Just like fans' emotions are. It's nothing personal. They love this team.
Yep.
This is their team. We just come and rent space for a while. Put the jersey and the helmet on. You're not an Eagle for life just because you wore the uniform. The fans are Eagles for life because they're here.
Yep.
So, and these players don't necessarily understand that.
Well.
Until their careers are over.
And then it starts to be like, all right, now I get it.
Well, yeah, because now you're not in a stadium. Man. You don't feel like you're being attacked. Now, here's what I'll say to fans. You have to all – now, listen, they get paid, so it's not about feeling sorry for them. But imagine having your job critiqued every day and you being called out in the media.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
You get defensive or what have you.
And people that aren't equipped to handle it, they get caught up with looking at social media and everything else. No, I mean,
some
you're
guys
right.
can handle it better than others.
Yep. No doubt about it. It does – just Chris Long even bringing this up makes me crazy – for the people that are saying, oh, poor Ben Simmons and the mistreatment and the Danny Green. Like, are you kidding me? Danny Green played. He played 2 years in Cleveland, beginning of his career. He was in San Antonio for all those years where there's not heavy criticism. No one's paying really, like, they like the Spurs. They're winning titles. No one's paying attention. Raptors, Lakers, Sixers. He came here. He's like, man, this city's crazy. No, you played in cities that weren't like this.
Yes.
And that's on you, not us.
Yeah, you played in Los Angeles, bro.
Like come on.
In Toronto. Like,
give me a break.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about with Ben Simmons? I still can't believe, like Shaq's been in on him. Charles has been on him recently. Like, he's getting heavy criticism from former stars in this league.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear it.
And what has he said?
Squat.
Yeah, he don't care.
Nope.
Believe me when I tell you, he don't care. Don't care what Shaq is saying.
No. Nope, he'll just never talk to Shaq.
He ain't even care enough to respond to it.
Nope. Nope, he's not going to say anything. Nope, he knows he's getting crushed. He doesn't care.
He hasn't said one word. Oh, he's tweeted out these stupid videos he normally tweets out, but he hasn't come out and refuted any reports. He hasn't come out and when people come at him. No, he really wants out. He's checked out.
Yep.
He is so out. It's not about Philly fans and this and that. You know, he is done.
Yep.
He's done. So,
all right, let's get back to
problem
some.
Is we're going to be the ones that get screwed in the end.
Well, at least we'll get Marvin Bagley and
two
Buddy
first
Hill
round picks and a pick swap.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, but at least if they make a trade with a bad team, if they trade with Sacramento, they're going to get a high draft pick because Ben's not turning Sacramento into a 40-45 win team. So you might have to settle for draft picks that you're projecting to be high draft picks, as opposed to taking. And yeah, you're going to have to get salary back. It's not like you can't trade salary. You're going to have to. But
yeah, you wait till. Embiid and Tobias are our two best players.
And
with Maxi.
Awesome.
Yeah, all that championship talk is gone.
Yeah, I think it's gone. No, it's gone.
That's gone.
It's already gone. All right, Mike and Manny, I'm checking into the Marks and Reese Fantasy League. What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Hey!
did you get a W this weekend?
I just missed it because Lamar put up 20 points I needed to hold him to 17 or less.
Oh, man.
The last minute. But we got Johnny Marks. I'm favored, which I'm really shocked. So I don't know if that's a good thing or
favorite over me? Well, I was an underdog this past week, I believe.
Like Sirianni says, dog mentality. Let's go.
Yep, definitely.
And one to say about Herb, if Peyton Manning doesn't get hired by ESPN, that take that he had, perfect. Offense, you need to have passing and running. Awesome.
Yep. Can you get that check? They like to pass and run the ball.
So outstanding. Learned that in your broadcasting school.
That's awesome.
I would say after watching Sunday, unfortunately, I watched it at night because we decided to do a family activity on the first week of football. I was so upset, but, you know, had to be with the daughter. But
You're a good husband and father, Mike.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I got some brownie points. I was like, it's okay. I'll watch it tonight. No big deal. Deep down, I was like, damn, this is week one. I need to watch the game.
Wow. So you didn't watch the game live?
Yeah, I couldn't watch the game live. I was down at the beach. So.
Did you know the result, or did you try to keep it?
I tried so hard until I checked. I was thinking on fantasy they wouldn't show the score because I haven't done it in like a year or two. But then I saw because I had Ridley, it popped up with the score. I'm like, damn it! I was like, all right. It was a good damn it. I was like, damn it, they won. Yeah.
Gotcha.
He was like, all right, we'll go home and see how it prevailed. But I wanted to say, after the first game, definitely on the rise. I think a lot of question marks were kind of in place in the preseason. I know it's only one game, but I would say that Jalen Hurts is starting to answer some of those questions. I think the biggest surprise for me was not seeing the six defense. That was huge on third down. It wasn't a shootout where we had to worry about a guy like Michael Duquette or McPherson going up against Pitts and getting torched all game. So those are two big things that I took away, which is awesome. Mulata earned his money. And I think, you know, Gannon and Sirianni, I think more importantly, Sirianni went from being camp counselor to coach, which is a big step up.
Oh, that's right. With the ping pong games, that was what we were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Jack gave him camp counselor name.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure I did.
Yeah, now Jack's got to make it in the playoffs. All right.
All right, guys. Enjoy tonight.
All right, buddy.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Do you want to hear Herb breaking down the 49ers tape that he
yes,
broke down?
Yes.
All right. It's a new beginning, dude. It's a new beginning, okay?
Yep.
And we got playmakers, and the coach is using the playmakers, setting up the game plan. We got San Francisco this week. They like to throw the ball. They like to run the ball.
It's a great breakdown.
Not a doubt. That's Herb for you. All right, Mark in Cincinnati, hometown of Ike Reese.
Little Cincy, little Skyline Chili.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Victory
Tuesday.
Couple days, yeah. I guess, mm-hmm. at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, just real quick. You got to love Chris Long. And yeah. at this point,
oh yeah,
who cares about Ben Simmons? You know, he's gone. Forgot him. You know,
wow, is that where we're at with Ben Simmons now? Who cares about Ben Simmons? Wow. Okay.
Well, unless he goes to Brooklyn or something, then
right.
maybe we have to
oh, man, yeah.
take care about yes. him then. You know?
I want to send him to one of the worst Western Conference teams, right. and I just want to watch him from here. Yes. There. That'd be great.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. Okay, just real quick, a comment on dog mentality. A guy explained it to me about a year ago. It had nothing to do with football. He said, but here's what you do. You want to find out, you take – your wife and your dog and lock them in your trunk for 60 minutes, go back and open up the trunk and see what their reactions are. The dog is going to love you. He's going to be like, hey, look, it's my owner. He saved me. And then how's your wife going to react? That's kind of the difference between, you know, forgetting what happened the last play, you know, and taking the good from it. And realizing, yeah, okay, there's something to learn from that last play, good or bad, and you move on. And that's, you know, like a dog. You know, like Jack said, they're dumb, they forget. But they do learn their lessons.
Yeah, but he's talking about snarling and drooling and foaming at the mouth.
But if you listen to Brandon Graham, right, what he said about the dog mentality, he said, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low. You want to learn from it and move on. But yeah, look, the snarling and that whole thing, that's another side of the dog.
Opening up the cage.
Yeah. I think it's funny because Nick Sirianni was in attack mode. He was in attack mode. He wasn't in cerebral, sit back, stay even keel mode. That's not what he was saying. I could picture him getting down in a damn linebacker stance, snarling and foaming at the mouth while he's saying this to his players.
No. When the cage opens up, exactly. I don't care what the score is in the first half, when that cage
we're
opens
attacking.
Up again, our teeth are snarling, we're drooling, we're ready, and we're hungry and ready to hunt again.
Yeah.
And again, and again, and again, and again. That's a great team win.
Yeah, we got to come up with something different here than these violent, angry dogs.
The dogs snarling and drooling and growling and barking.
Like Dave met DMs me and says he's talking about fighting dogs. We don't need to be talking about dog fighting.
No, that is the type of dog he's talking about, but that's not what he's talking about.
He's not trying to promote.
He's talking about an attack dog. That's what he's doing. See, you guys are non-athletes, and you're a baseball player and really a pitcher.
I know what he's saying.
No, I don't think you really do.
Oh, why?
Because you're a baseball player.
I had a dog mentality when I was running that mile.
No, yes. My point is that when you're talking to football players, there's a certain way you have to connect with them. And this cerebral, passive way of thinking and talking to them isn't going to get anybody fired up. And Nick Sirianni isn't talking about some sort of sit back and just reflect on this and that and other and be ready to go. No, he's talking about the moment they let us out of this damn locker room, we're going to attack. That's what he's talking about. Now, I'm surprised because he's a wide receiver. He's not a linebacker. He's not even a DB. That's a phony defensive player unless you're Brian Dawkins or somebody. I'm talking about cornerback. He's not a corner. You know what I mean? That's D linemen speak that way, right? You know, Dan Campbell, as a meathead tight end, he's talking about breaking kneecaps.
Yeah, biting kneecaps,
same
yeah.
thing. Biting them, breaking them, same thing. That's what he's talking about doing. And Nick Sirianni was basically wanting to give his players the image of the moment they open this cage and they let us up out of this locker room, we're attacking nonstop.
Yeah, we're wild animals. Let's
yes.
go.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted the wild animal. That's what he was going for.
Sounds like my lab.
Sounds like a dog playing
like
with
Herbie,
a tuggy.
My French bulldog, he does growl like that. He's the tough one in the
you
house.
Named your dog after Herb in Northeast Philly?
I guess that's one. Yeah, his name. It wasn't after him, though.
Yeah, that would have been nice of you to name your dog after Herb, but that was not the case.
I did not name the dog.
No. Let's go back.
If I go any further, you probably will feel bad.
Well, I know who the dog's named after, but I didn't know that family member. I didn't know the details of the.
Yeah, my wife named the dog after her father, deceased father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't ask for the explanation.
I just told you let it go. I said leave it alone.
Yeah, Jack.
I told you that.
Let's go to Alex. Alex in West Reading. Alex, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Yo.
Hey, so.
What's up, Alex?
Quick thing about Ben Simmons. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you.
We got you.
All right. So my thing with Ben Simmons is I'm tired of this. Well, let's trade him, not trade him. Dude, you got to set a precedence. It's time to take back this league. Ride this motherfucker, or pardon my language, ride this guy out.
Lord have mercy. My goodness. Really went all the way out.
Listen, he stopped it. Is he muted now, Jack?
No, he's good.
All right, yeah, we're going to go back to him in a second.
Yeah, no, he's good.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
So he's going to make the case that you don't trade him. See, here's the thing with Ben real fast. Like, I saw a betting line where it's a huge underdog that Ben Simmons reports to training camp. If Ben Simmons is not traded by training camp, he will report and just be a distraction and be unhappy. Guys don't just not show up anymore he'll be fined. He won't get paid. Like, I think it's a certainty
he's coming to get that $16 million for October 1st.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, like, James Harden didn't say, I'm holding out. James Harden just was, you know, like, didn't show up and then showed up and then went to Vegas and ticked his teammates off. So these guys show up.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of he's going to be unhappy. And when he shows up like that, the team's going to say, man, we got to move on from this guy now. Let's take the best available offer. All right, Alex, go ahead, man.
Yeah, sorry about that. I called myself, but it was a little too late. yeah, so, I mean, dude, ride him. I don't care if he gets fined. Ride him on that bench for the remaining of his contract. Sign him for extension. Let him have those stats that he's been building just stagnate. Because it's not going to matter anyway when he plays on the floor. He's not putting up numbers. Let this guy be in the history books for being the biggest bum in the NBA. So tired of this guy. He's a diva with a silver spoon. And it's just something that's been taking over the NBA. And frankly, I don't watch it anymore because of it. Make this guy ride it out and teach him a lesson.
So you're advocating sitting him on the bench for 4 years and paying him?
Hell yes. I'd say worse than that. Oh, yeah, dude. It's time to set an example. This shouldn't be flying anymore. This is so ridiculous.
Toothpaste. And by the way, and thank you, Alex, the toothpaste is out of the tube. It's now the NFL. These quarterbacks, if they don't want to be there anymore, like Russell Wilson last year, let it be known to the Seahawks, hey, you have to do better or I'm next. Right, like Tom Brady going down to Tampa. Aaron Rodgers was unhappy after that because he sees that Tampa says, hey, we're all in with you, Tom. We're going to re-sign everybody. We're going to bring anybody that you want in. Russell Wilson wants to see a roster like that built around him.
But honestly, to Alex's point, like Tom Brady was a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys aren't. They didn't force a trade. The only guy who wanted out and got what he wanted is Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz. Deshaun Watson is still a Texan. Russell Wilson is still a Seahawk. And Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer.
But if Russell Wilson came out and said, I don't want to be a Seahawk anymore, they're going to trade him.
Didn't he do that?
No, he walked it back. They're fine.
Yeah, he walked it back when he realized he wasn't getting traded.
No, he went on radio shortly after the end of the playoffs.
I'm going off the first reaction. No, that's covering your tracks. That's all that is. He wanted to be traded. That's what he said, and he didn't get traded.
Well, he didn't say that he wanted to be traded.
They didn't put a list out of teams. His agent didn't put a list out of teams.
His agent came out and said these are a list of teams that Russell Wilson would be willing to be traded to. Yes, he did.
That you don't take that as he wants to be traded?
But I take it as him saying to the Seahawks, you have to do better or I'm out. Like, this is it. You have to do better or you're out, right?
What did they do?
What did they hired an offensive coordinator that he liked.
Oh.
They shored up the offensive line, I believe.
They didn't do anything significant.
Well, I mean, so what he was asking for was he wanted more input on what was going on game days, what was going on with the offense and everything else. I guess my point is that once a star athlete wants out, normally they're out.
In the NBA, maybe, but not in the NFL is my only point, is these quarterbacks wanted out and they didn't get out. Like, they didn't get what they wanted. They had to settle for other things. Like, they made all this noise in the beginning of the offseason, and all three of them are still on the same team. They made all this noise. All these quarterbacks, going to be change of addresses and this and that and the other, and no, Aaron Rodgers is still moping about last year. Russell Wilson accepted the fact that he wasn't getting traded. And he did the mature thing and just basically went back and started playing. Deshaun Watson is still sitting out because he is pouting like a baby because he doesn't want to play for Houston.
Well, I mean,
Like you think if Deshaun Watson last month or a month and a half ago had said he wanted to play for Houston or he would play, they wouldn't play him?
I think that they would put him on that restricted list, but
instead they're just paying him to sit on the sideline.
They're paying him to sit on the sideline. Yeah, but I mean, do we think that he would have been traded if the legal troubles didn't happen?
No, I'm just saying about him playing.
Right.
I'm saying he's decided to sit out. They didn't trade him is the point that I'm making.
No, I know. I guess I just disagree with what you're saying about that. I disagree with what you're saying that the quarterbacks didn't get what they wanted. I mean, you're not.
No, they didn't. I told you the two that did. Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz.
Right.
The other quarterbacks didn't get what they wanted.
What Aaron Rodgers got was, this is the last year, and then we're letting you go.
Yeah, these are all things they had to accept as concessions. Yeah, they did. You save face. That's what you do.
Let's go to Tehran in North Jersey. What's up, Tehran? Or New Jersey.
Hey,
what's up, Tehran?
Guys. Hey, man, I'm out here, man. I want to give a big shout-out to the show before I get to my point. Big shout-out to the show, man. You guys make business and sports fun, man. And it's kind of hard to mix those things because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you give too much to the sports and you're in trouble with wife and you're in trouble with kids and all that. But you guys make it fun. You keep it fun for us. So big shout-out to you guys for
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Thank you, Tehran.
Ike, here we go. Ike, I found out about 2 years ago. It's been a long time since I called in because work conflicts with the show. I listen to everybody's show all day long, but I can't call in because of work. But, you know, hey, this is the only show I call. I listen to them all, but this is my show here. Ike, I found out 2 years ago you and I are just about the same age. So Sunday happened to be my birthday. And the one biggest thing I could take for that at the end of the day was the Eagles a win. All right, so I want to get right to the point.
I thought you wanted some Ike juice.
They had a whole bunch of that Ike juice and everything set up for me. Big party, nothing but Eagles fans and this and that other. But I found myself not being able to really get where I wanted to be with the Ike juice and stuff to somewhere around the third quarter. So I wanted to ask you guys, you know, watching the game and everything, at what point did you really feel comfortable? Because we're all trying to figure out who we are and what we're going to bring to the table. So I say around third quarter that I just started dropping, and then next thing you know, I'm doing dances on the floor. So I just wanted to hear your opinion on, you know, when you really felt like, okay, we might be here to do some business.
When they went up 22-6, right, and I'm thinking, okay, let's see, it was still midway in the third quarter, I believe, at that time, and Atlanta had gotten the ball a time or two, and it wasn't until. I don't know if the Eagles forced them three and out and back-to-back possessions or what, but at some point it was from the defensive standpoint, I said, oh, Atlanta's not scoring. They might not score again today. They're certainly not getting a touchdown. This offensive game plan looks stupid. I don't know if are they trying to throw the ball down the field? I don't know what they were trying to do, Atlanta. But it was at some point when it was 22-6 in the third quarter, and I just saw the defense – just constantly smother that Falcons offense. I was just like, dude, they can win this game 22-6. Like, the Eagles don't have to score again.
Yep.
I mean, before the end, it was 7-6 right before the half with 2 minutes to go before the half. So who wasn't?
And was it the last two touchdowns were late and kind of just like they were just rolling them at that point?
Mm-hmm. Well, the last touchdown came because Atlanta went for it in their own 25-yard line.
On fourth down.
Yeah.
All right, Eagles Shirley. Is checking in. Eagles Shirley.
Hey, family. Oh, my word. Let me take y'all for speakers. I love me some Mark and Ike. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I apologize. I'm still normally at work. Sometimes I don't get off till like 7, 8 o'clock. However, I stopped. I was listening. I said, nope, I'm not doing nothing else. I'm going to call in because I need to call in and say, I apologize for not calling in. And I love you all. I'll keep my radio on. I still listen.
We don't accept your apology, Shirley. Sorry. Absolutely not. You're dead to me.
Tickets and peace, too, to come and check y'all out. So,
all right.
Coming up soon. Yes, I'm pushing stuff off my calendar so I can come and chill with Mark and Ike.
I know you're going to the game Sunday, right?
Yeah, with Kenny from the Dirty Dirty.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about to go down. Listen, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Watching that game, the breath of just like, we can, you know, exhale from last year, from the previous years, and the dog mentality that they're talking about, to me, I'm saying to myself, as soon as he mentioned Ike, you know, you played under Jim Johnson. I grew up underneath Buddy Ryan. And I'm just thinking about not just on defense, but then on offense, we had so many great plays, great guys that just went the extra mile, the extra yard. And then I'm thinking about Philadelphia, you know, the Rocky thing, you know, how we are the blue collar city folks that just like grind in and grind out, want to see you just smash talk. I think he's coming from that perspective, like, that's what we want. Think about, everybody keep talking about Ben. Why is people talking about Ben? Because he didn't go that extra mile, the dunk, you know, to put the ball in. Like, that. When he get angry, we see his potential. But when he don't do it, it just, no.
It's frustrating, yes.
We want that all the time.
Yep. No, you're right. Want it all the time. You can't just show it sometimes. You got to show it all the time.
Exactly. And I'm excited for where we're heading. And I heard you earlier, and – you was right.
Wow.
There was, in your season, in your time, your era, we didn't hear about nobody talking about what's going on in the locker room, all of that nonsense that he said. That mess started with Chip Kelly, and then it just spread like a virus. And I'm saying to myself, the Philadelphia Eagles was one of the most establishments that people respected because we didn't have that nonsense. Then the Chip Kelly era came, and then they talking about, you know,
Nabi Asomugha.
Lunch in the car. He was telling the truth. He was telling the truth about the legs. They was tired, you know what I mean, at the end of the day. However, the way it came out, it allowed for other guys to get up and speak about and against the organization, against the team. But let me tell you something, honey. Baby, I know I'm talking real fast because I know y'all got to go, and I'm just so used to it.
Which
right
is
now.
Honor. We're just letting you roll, Eagle. Shirley, go ahead.
Listen,
keep it going.
I love you all. Listen, y'all can follow me on I have my own thing going on with www.a-shirley.com. So I have my own little website. I'm giving shout-outs to people. I'm having fun. I'm doing my football thing, the encouragement room, and I'm also on Instagram and all that good stuff. But anyway,
a-shirley.com.
She said not to leave on that note, but I had to get that in.
But wait a minute. Listen, y'all just don't
What's
know
the website again? What's
a dash of Shirley.com. I'm on it right
a
now.
Dash of Shirley.
Voted by the fans on Twitter as the number one caller of all time and the favorite caller.
Oh, my God. Stop it, Mark.
The picture with Angelo and Al and Rhea and Jonesy.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. But I got to get one with you, Mark, because I have one with
I have one with you. It's on my phone from a while ago, from the Super Bowl year.
Ooh, boy.
Okay. All right,
send
I will.
It, yeah, send it to me so I can let people know who my family is. Y'all
okay.
my family.
All right.
Okay. But listen, I love you all, and I cheer for y'all and root for y'all. And at the end of the day, listen, give the Eagles a chance. We came out here and we proved not just to everybody else, but they proved to themselves. And I do know what it's like to work as a unit, as a team. And I saw that on Sunday. And I respect them guys for doing that. And if we can continue to have that going all the way to as far as they go, then listen, they already winners in my book. And you know I'm going to leave you with
There you go, Shirley.
Love you, Shirley.
Thank you. Got to put that dog up there.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, I was confused for a second.
Sirianni started it.
I thought that was Shirley started breathing. At the end. I'm like, what the hell?
Now when I get excited for the Eagles, I think dog growling and Cujo.
That's the dog right there, Cujo.
Yeah, but you know what I honestly think about?
Bit by a bat.
Do you remember the old man that was on the newscast that started snarling?
No.
That went viral a couple of years ago?
Pull it up, no.
Yeah, and the dogs were across the boat. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over.
Whoa.
And I just made it into the front door.
Well, you know that's not Coach Sirianni.
No,
but
it's not.
It is a snarling man. All right, let's go to Len. Len in Swedesboro. Len, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
What's up, Len?
What's up? First off, I know you guys kind of brushed that guy's what he wanted to do off, but I will sign his petition to keep Ben Simmons here and let his behind sit on the bench for the next 4 years. And that's the only way to, well, you're not going to get through to him, but I'm so sick of that guy and his soft attitude. I know you guys say he doesn't care, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
The one wish I had, man, I wish he would have played for somebody like a John Chaney or a Bobby Knight. Knocked all that nonsense out of his – I'm all right. I got to keep him cursing.
Can they hire Larry Brown to try to salvage it?
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Oh,
but
you know what it is, Lynn. I almost have to tell myself, in a roundabout way, to not care about Ben Simmons because it's so frustrating.
Exactly.
Because in reality, we all want to give him a little throat punch, right? We all wish we could just get our hands on him one little time.
Exactly.
But I'm like, man, this dude is going to wind up getting his way.
Exactly.
And it really irritates me even more.
I'm telling you, man.
It just does, man.
And when they were talking about he might go to the Warriors, I'm like, that would be the worst. Ooh, it's so hard to pass the two of the greatest three-point shooters we've ever seen. It's and then everybody be pumping up. See, you Sixers lost.
Yep.
He's passing to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He'd be so good if he went out there, according to him, at least.
Exactly. Send him to Oklahoma City. I don't want him going to California. Send him somewhere.
Send him to Sacramento. That's not like going to a good California city.
California. I don't want anywhere near California.
And by the way, I'm not making him sit for 4 years, but he's coming to training camp if I can't get a deal, and he's going to have to deal with it, and Rich Paul's going to have to deal with it. The posturing that's going on right now is they're trying to get a deal done now, but if I'm Daryl Morey, I'm saying, all right, like, don't report. We'll find you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they should do. Somebody's got to – oh, man, anyway. But in terms of the Eagles real quick, it was a great start. You know, I don't want to keep repeating what everybody said. You know, obviously we're satisfied. It's going to be a good test this weekend. And the one thing I was happy about, because I think, like you said, you were – PC coached you before?
Yes.
Defense? Yep. I thought he was throwing a lot of stuff at Jalen. They were bringing blitzes.
He did.
You know?
Yep.
So we saw a lot of stuff. So going against the San Francisco defense is not going to be as much of a shock because Pease was throwing stuff at him. So that was a good thing.
No, that's a good point, man. It's not as if Jalen didn't get all of these exotic blitz looks that I was a little bit afraid of whether or not this line would be able to handle. And not only did they handle it very well, the running backs in the protection. Mm-hmm. You know, Miles was talking about it last night, that Jason Kelsey did a great job of letting everybody know where they're supposed to go and where the blitz was coming from. And Jalen, to his credit, knowing that you're getting those extra rushers, your first instinct or his first instinct could have been, I'm looking for the escape route. I'm looking for which way am I going to run up out of here and take off. Instead, he kept his eyes downfield, and running was a last resort versus taking off at the first sign of pressure. So that's another good sign of just watching him mature as a quarterback.
Exactly. But, yeah, we'll see what happens this weekend.
Yep.
All right, fellas.
All right, Len.
They like to say,
appreciate
John,
it.
They like to say in football, you have to update your resume every week. That's a new cliche for you right there.
Mm.
You got to update that resume.
Yep. He comes out and struggles against the 49ers. That resume is – people aren't going to be saying, we found our franchise quarterback. It's solved. We don't have to worry about the first-round draft picks. We'll be getting back into – man, I don't know. No, it really is. I remember Nick Foles, was it the Pro Bowl year? But, like, he had that bad that bad game against the Cowboys where –
it was that year, yeah.
Where it was like –
got the concussion.
Yeah, yes. It's like, he's not the guy. Like, man, I just remember being so down because that felt like such a big game, and he failed.
Yep.
And it's...
And then he came back. He came back, and I think he had the Raider game right after that.
It was his first game back.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had the Raider game, and he got the 7 touchdowns. And when I was talking about the franchise quarterback thing with Donovan yesterday, and inferring about Donovan yesterday, it really is hard to find that guy that your organization is committed to. Like, when we think about franchise quarterback, do we need to rethink the term franchise quarterback, or does it mean the same as it used to, in part when you mean you got an organization that's ready to commit to you and you've been there for a decade? Like, it's hard to get a quarterback on the same team for a decade.
Yeah.
And Donovan is the only quarterback that has played for a decade straight since, I don't know, did Jaws play for a decade straight?
Close.
Did Randall get a decade straight? I don't think Randall got a 10 straight years.
No, because.
And when I say straight, I mean coming into the season every year as the starter. Donovan, his rookie year, even though he was the number 2 pick, didn't come into the year as the starter. Doug was. But after that, he was the starter every year until he was traded.
Yeah, Randall was around.
But he was benched and replaced, right? It was.
Well, not once. When Gruden came in 95, he was more or less no longer. No, so Randall was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Nah, he wasn't 10.
Yeah.
Was not 10. Jaws was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He was 10.
Okay, so you got to go to Jaws and Donovan, really.
Yeah, even Randall, who we look at as being a great player, and he was.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get a decade.
No, he did not. All right, we're going to step aside for 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. On the other side, a top 5 at 5 with Jack Fritz. What does he have in store for us today, Ike?
I have no idea.
We'll find.
He actually just gave a little teaser. He didn't even know it.
Ah.
Yeah, that's coming up in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere.
The
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.